We are calling this message, The Greatest Father in the World. On this day, we honor fathers, and this is the Lord's Day. And on this day, we read that this day should be spent in Isaiah 58 by ceasing to do our own pleasure. We should call this day a delight, holy and honorable. And we are not to speak our own idle words about our own subjects. This day is especially a day that we delight in the Lord. Now, our Heavenly Father is a wonderful and great Father, and He is the greatest Father of all. There is one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are equal in power and glory. Now, God is a Spirit, one Spirit. God the Father is in charge of God the Son and of God the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we read, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Son was begotten of the Father. In John 15, verse 26, "But when the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father." You see, everything that the Son and the Holy Spirit did, as they were eternal God, equal in power and glory, they did it in obedience to the Father. God the Father is the greatest Father of all, because He foreordained everything and everyone. God the Father is the greatest because He ordained to create you and me, and that we be living in this very moment of history to accomplish His purpose in history. That is one thing that gives life real meaning. The psalmist said in Psalm 16, "My lines have fallen in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage." And to every child of God, they say amen to those things. "For the Lord is our shepherd. I have no more wants, because they're all met in God, my shepherd, God the Father." Now, God is Spirit, as John 4:24 says. As Spirit, He is every place at once. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, "Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascended to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, the place of the dead, behold, Thou art there." God the Father is Spirit. As such, He is above the highest stars. You know, there are 1 billion galaxies with 1 billion stars in each one. And God is every place, thousands of light years away. And He is here. He is every place at once. And we have to understand that as He is in every place at once, some people have the idea that they cannot understand this. Of course they cannot. He is a Spirit. He's in the depths of the earth and of the sea. God the Father is everywhere present at the same time. In the heart of the Son, but He doesn't burn up. He, a Spirit, is in every tree and every blade of grass. But though He is in every place at once, He is separate from His creation. We must believe that though we do not understand it. He is not a pantheistic God. God is not all, and all is not God. Otherwise, everything would be equally God. And you and I would have the odd idea that we are God. And that would be an awful thought if we thought that we were God. Only God is God. I am not God. You are not God. Because He, as God the Father, is Spirit, we cannot ever put Him or Christ or the Holy Spirit in a picture or a form, because it is sinful to limit God to a picture or some form or of any person of the Godhead. We have learned all of that from the Second Commandment. Now, some false religions take the Second Commandment right out of their Bibles. They say people are dumb. They need an image. Oh, no. No. That's why they need to learn who the God of the Bible is. If God is God, and He is, we are talking about God the Father today. If He is every place at once, where do we approach Him? And how do we approach Him? We are up to approach Him as our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, who is every place at once, is to be approached in heaven because He is so high above us in position. We are so low. There is to be a proper deference, a distance between us. He is not like a familiar buddy sitting on the sofa across from us. He is high and holy. Hallowed be thy name. He is our Father. He is the greatest Father in the world because He begets. He made us. That's how He is our Father. In Psalm 139, it says in verse 13, and as we look at that verse, we see that Psalm 100 said, it is the Lord that hath made us, and not we ourselves. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! They're more than the number of the seashore. He is my Father, in the sense also that He not only made me, but He provides everything for me. He protects me from all my enemies. He leads me every place that I am. I live in the place that He has ordained and established. For He has established even the bounds of my habitation, the Bible says. He made me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And you say, how am I so fearfully and wonderfully made? Well, I want to remind you that 1 square inch of your human skin, 1 square inch, and you have a bunch of square inches, but 1 square inch of your human skin contains 19,500,000 cells. Now, you have probably over a trillion cells. These cells each have their own DNA. And inside your cell are little motors that go 100,000 rounds per minute. If you were going in a car 50 miles an hour, you'd probably go 2,000 to 2,500 rounds per minute in the engine. It would be going around that fast. This is 100,000 RPMs. And that's just in one cell. You have 65 hairs and muscles in one square inch. You have 90 to 5 to 100 sebaceous glands. Those are the glands that nurture with oil, and they lubricate your skin so it doesn't dry out. You have 160 to 165 pressure sensing mechanisms. You have 19,500 sensory cells at nerve fiber endings in one square inch. You have 1,300 nerve endings to record pain. You have 13 sensory apparatus mechanisms for cold. You have 78 sensory apparatus mechanisms for heat. You have 19 to 20 blood vessels. You have 650 sweat glands. You have 78 nerves. You're 10 to 30% water, and you have a few other substances. This is all in one square inch of your skin. Now, we see that therefore we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But we see also that, you know, this just happened. How? Energy and time and chance. For it's like throwing mud against the wall. And it all just came out just the way we said. In one square inch of your skin. That has nothing to do with the internal organs and all the rest of your body's bones and sinews and all the other parts of your body. It just happened. You're just a matter of chance. And God says to that person, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God who has created me and made me fearfully and wonderfully. But you say, how do we understand God? We have over a million cells. He's every place at once. He's absolutely sovereign. And we say, we don't understand anything in any exhaustive way about God. That ought to throw us back on our hind legs. That ought to put us down in our thinking. You see, what God wants is not understanding of anything He has made or anything He has done. God wants a relationship with us. Do you know God? Good question. The answer is yes, you do. You have a relationship with God in the sense that you know who God the Father is in a very personal way. You read Romans 1. We have referred to it many times. But you don't want to know God. You know Him, but you don't want to. Why? Because He is holy. He is sovereign. He is in control of all things. We do not know God the Father as an obedient Son who loves and obeys His Father. And listen to this verse. Matthew 11:27 says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son, Jesus Christ, but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. And He, to whomsoever the Son, will reveal Him. You know, you hear these people, well, God the Father is our God. We believe in the God of the Old Testament. Now, remember, everybody knows God, but they don't want to know the God that they do know. But in order to know God the Father in any good saving way, the Son, Jesus Christ, has to reveal the Father. That's what the verse says. And there's a sense in which the Father has to reveal the Son. And this is all through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you know the persons of the Holy Spirit? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in a good way, in an obedient way. And that's the only way to really know them. Because you don't like what you do know about God the Father. You hate it. That's why you believe in the devolution of evolution. That's why you try to run away from God. That's why you keep running till you die. But we know each person of the Trinity by revelation. The Father reveals Himself to us. The Son reveals who the Father is to us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals Himself to us. That's how we know. So it's by revelation. Now, a true father provides, this is what a true father does. He provides all the needs of the family. He protects the family from every enemy. He leads the family in the paths of righteousness for the name's sake of God. Because he's made in the image of God. He represents God in behalf of his whole family. He either takes the place or he sits down and doesn't take the place. But a father also is concerned and provides for the greatest of needs. And that is not the health of his family, or the education of his family, or the economics of his family. The greatest need is to realize how deep our sin is, and to see the depths of the sin of every person in his family. He wants to see every person in the family reconciled to God, because the soul never dies. How do I know I have a soul? Because I can think about God and the world to come. My soul knows God. My soul knows I'm going to hell forever. The soul knows I'm sinful. And I must be in a place where I want the reconciliation of every person in my family. Now, there are many things that could be said about the greatest father in the world. But the greatest thing about the greatest father in the world, who is God the Father, is that he understands the depths of our sin. How in the world does this happen? Well, we see in Hebrews chapter 4, and we're looking at the Amplified. For the word that God speaks to us is alive and full of power, making it active and operative, energizing and effective. The word that God speaks penetrates to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and the marrow, that is the deepest part of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless, to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's the knowledge of God. That's the presence of God in your soul. He is every place at once. He has will. He has power to carry out that will. He is spirit, but he is every place at once. But that same God said that he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever sees and believes in the depths of his sin and believes in the greatness of the solution to his sin and sees how holy and just God is and sees that only righteousness is in Jesus Christ, and that he shed his blood to give his righteousness and perfection to a guilty, polluted sinners. And seeing that, he turns totally to Jesus Christ. That person has eternal life because God the Father not only sees the greatness of our problem, which is sin, but he gives a greater solution in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, as we see this, we need to understand that as human fathers, that's what we want for our families. Because God the Father is a holy and perfect Father. He is God. People are crying and moaning and complaining and hating Him because He is the greatest, most perfect Father. And they don't like His purpose and His plan. Oh, none of us do. But I want to tell you what He brings us to see. He is over all. He is absolutely sovereign. He must bring us to the place that we lay down our ideas, our plans, our weapons, and our stubborn will and turn to Christ with our whole heart. That's what God the Father has done. And He loved a world that is so sinful that their sins can be forgiven in Christ. But the only way you'll ever turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that honors and pleases Him is if God takes away your fate, regenerates your heart, and turns you totally to Christ in faith. It isn't this little no-so gospel. It isn't this little prayer that's prayed so often. It's not cutting things short. If you have a short gospel, you have a short life here and a long hell. Oh, may God show us He is the greatest. That He is the one who provides everything. He protects us from all our enemies. He is the one who leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But only as we turn our life over to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ do we appreciate anything that He is. But I urge you to consider His sovereignty, His knowledge, His wisdom, His justice, but His mercy that is extended to a world like you that is so sinful that there is no hope but in the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the greatest Father in the world, and certainly none of us, but we have a perfect Father in God the Father. Oh Lord, we praise Thee and thank Thee for it. He is the Father. He's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Not that He is older. There is no beginning and no ending to God. But each one is under God the Father to do His will in the Trinity. Our Father, we pray that we might learn from the person of Jesus Christ what it is to be under God the Father, as He is. He didn't speak a word. He didn't do an act. But what? He got it from God the Father. And this is what the Father wanted Him to say and do. Oh, we will never be in such a perfect relationship on this earth to the Father. But, oh God, cause us to rejoice in all that the Father is. Cause us to bow. Cause us to turn to Christ with all our heart before it's too late and we leave this earth before we plan. Oh Lord, be with every father, earthly father, and cause them to see that they stand before their heavenly Father to represent God in all that He wants them to do in behalf of their family. Bless them as they do it, and as they are obedient to the Lord, our Heavenly Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.